Again, this is just a quick review from last week. And you have been quickened. Quickened means to make alive, spiritually. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Simply what we just said. This is your life outside of Jesus. You are dead spiritually. You're not alive spiritually. That's what it means. Dead in trespasses and sin. You are born into a sin nature. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. That is who? Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All this is simply saying, in a little fancy way, is you've had a past. You've got a past. You walk according to Satan instead of according to Christ. You are a sinner. You've never asked for forgiveness. You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you are a children of disobedience. Who have you disobeyed? You've disobeyed God's word. God's word says that all have come short of the glory of God. But through His Son, Jesus Christ, in believing and accepting in Him, we can be saved. Once we're saved, we take the journey from sin to grace. You with me so far? Say amen.
Amen.
Here we go. Among them also, we all had our conversation. Believe me, we've all had conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is a lifestyle. This is how we talk. There should be, let me say this closely, it should be a difference in conversation between lost people and saved people. Conversation means how you speak. Conversation means what you say. The manner in which you say it. We witness a lot more with our mouth than we ever do our actions. Also, and listen to me closely, all it takes is something to be said in some way, shape, or form that really can degrade your testimony. People hold us accountable for what we say. There's nothing wrong with that other than the fact we're going from sin to grace. In this journey, if you will, in this process, if you will, there should be a change in you. And one of the things that should change is your conversation. What you say, how you say it, when you say it, and the mannerism by which you say it. The way you talk should change. He says, in our past, our conversation wasn't very Christ-like. Now, it should change. One of the first evidences in my understanding of being a witness. And believe me, I'm held more accountable than anybody else once they find out you're a minister, is what you say, how you say it. You understand that? Oh, they won't remember all the stuff I've talked about, Jesus and all of that. But you let me slip up and say one word that's not becoming of a preacher and they'll never forget it. That's the world we live in today. You got to be careful what you say, how you say it, when you say it. There's a change between sinning and going to grace. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. We'll continue our review. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us. Last week, this rich in mercy. I said it's sort of like if you had a parents that are rich, uncle and aunt that's rich, friend that is rich, you go out and you overspend. Anybody here ever overspend? Don't raise your hand. You spend and you spend and you spend and you spend, and the next thing you know, you're broke. And when you're broke, it's not fun. It's not nice. I mean, it's just awful when you're broke. And you've got no one to blame but yourself. Well, this is describing sort of like this. We sometimes, when we become broke in our spiritual life, bankrupt, if you will, we've done some awful things, said some awful things. We have really sinned against God. When we come to Him broke spiritually, I don't care what you've done, I don't care what your past, I don't care what you said. There's nothing so bad that you've done that Jesus is so rich in mercy
that he could not bring you out of it.
Amen.
Do you understand that? That is marvelous, folks. But God, who is rich in mercy, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. If you're serious about it, and if you ask for it, he will forgive you. Give the Lord a hand of applause. For his great love, not just love, look at that, great love, wherein he loved us. This is why he's rich in mercy, because he loves you, willing to forgive you, willing to forgive your past. If you will simply come to him and say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved by grace, your mercy. Thank you. I love you. Change me. When you do that in your heart, he will change you for eternity and eternity and eternity, because he is rich in mercy and great in love. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even though we were lost, dead in sin, has he quickened us, means he's given us life, not only for today, but for eternity.
Amen.
You understand that? This is not a saved today, lost tomorrow type situation. We are saved today, where names are written down in the book of life, and from that point on, a home is being prepared for us in heaven, and we're taking the journey from sin to grace. He has made us live together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now this is where we finished last week, but let me say again about this heavenly places. A lot of people have asked me, what's this mean, heavenly places? Keep in mind, as I told you this last week, when Paul writes this book, he is in prison. His sight is getting worse. Can't see. They gave him one little candle to write with. He's in a dungeon. It's bad, folks. It's bad. Here's what he's saying. Even though I'm in a dungeon, and I can't hardly see, I have very little light. As far as I'm concerned, because of Christ Jesus, I am in a heavenly place. What's that mean? Heavenly place is not where I'm standing. It's a state of mind. It's a state of heart. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. If you know Christ Jesus, I promise you, whatever it is, he's right there beside you, with you. Because he didn't promise us that everything in our life would go great just because we've accepted Jesus Christ. But he has promised us a heavenly home. He's promised us that he'll be with us. He will guide us. He will listen to us. He will hug us when we need it. Because if you're with Jesus, I don't care where you're at or what you're doing, you are in a heavenly place. I would rather be in a dungeon with Jesus than in the biggest mansion with Satan.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. Now we pick up for today. That in the ages to come, I like this ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus in the ages to come. There's an age that is coming for God's people who remain faithful. I want you to look at this. That in the ages to come, he might show exceeding riches. What's heaven going to be like? We hear about it. The Bible describes it a little bit. But I promise you, if you think you're going through hell on earth, it is worth it to go through it with Jesus, because one day, I promise you, whatever you've had to deal with on this earth through Jesus, he's going to pay you back in riches that you cannot imagine on this planet. Heaven is a place for prepared people. Your place is being prepared for you, because you've accepted Jesus, you believe in him, you've accepted him by faith. And now you are truly on this journey from sin to grace. And that end journey is going to be whether you take your last breath and you go be with Jesus, or he returns with the sound of the trumpet. God's people one day are going to be in exceeding riches from now on, and now on, and now on, and now on, and now on. Give the Lord a hand of applause.
and wonderful. Trouble is, we seem to skip over verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And what we want to look at verse 9. How are we saved? I said it's from sin to grace. In this journey of getting to grace, it's simply accepting and believing by what? Faith. Now this is a very neat subject. I've preached an awful lot about faith over my 25 years of being here. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus without faith. It's got to be real faith.
Amen.
It's got to be faith that when you say, I believe in Jesus, you truly do believe that. See, you've never seen him. You've seen pictures of him, but you've never seen Jesus. He died many, many years ago, came back to life many, many years ago. You have to accept by faith that cross. You have to accept by faith what this Bible says. You got to accept it. That's by faith. I believe it because I read it. I believe it. It's God inspired. It says here that Jesus so loved me that he gave his life for me on the cross. He died for me. Died for me. If I was the only person living, he died for me. It's personal. This is what faith is. It's personal, which means you believe it in your own personal life. No one can make it. No one can force you. This is not something you do by force. You do by love. Are you with me? You do it by love. You accept Jesus by his amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. There's nothing that you can do to be saved. You've got to understand this. I don't care how you live, what you do. Because verse 9 is going to very, very explain this. And I want you to understand this. There's nothing that you can do to get into heaven. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how much money you give away. I don't care how much you've done. What you've done. It doesn't make any difference to me. You cannot save yourself by whatever you think you've done. You can't work your way to heaven. Look what it says. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, let me just tell you what this means. If I could work my way to heaven, you think I wouldn't tell you? Look at me. I'm a brave guy, aren't I? Let me tell you all the good things I've done. I give my wife $1 a week allowance. I am a wonderful teacher. I never whip my kids except when they needed it, and they needed it a lot. I'm good to my neighbors unless they aggravate me. I've been a very nice preacher for 25 years around here. I've never raised my voice to anybody. I'm just all that in a bag of chips. Well, that's pretty sick, isn't it? You really think about that? But you'd be surprised how sometimes arrogance gets in the way of salvation. It really does. I cannot. I don't work to get to grace. I work because of grace.
Amen.
There's a big difference there. Listen to me closely. I cannot work my way to heaven. I can't be kind enough. I can't be nice enough. I can't write a big enough check to get in the doors, folks, because that's not what it's about. I have to accept Jesus Christ by faith. Now, when I do that, my actions should change. The manners of my conversation should change. And as I make this journey from sin to grace, I do want to work for the Lord. But it's not for salvation. It's because of salvation. Now, there's a big, big, big difference. Understand this, please. This is God's word, not something I'm making up. You have to understand. You accept Jesus Christ through grace, through faith, so that by this you can understand there's nothing that I can do. Because if I could, I'd boast. Oh, if I could work my way to heaven, buddy, I'd be boasting. I'd be patting myself on my back. Or my uncle used to say years ago, smell me. But see, it's all about me. Who cares about me? I wouldn't want to die on a cross for you. I wouldn't want to do that. I wasn't the one that was hugging there for 6 hours and died. I wasn't the one that came back from the grave. If I died, believe me, I'm going to be in that grave and my soul's going to be in heaven, but I'm not going to be alive. Jesus did that. He did that. When you believe, when you accept that by grace, through faith, then your life will change. Then, it's because of works. Because I want
to show you by my works that Jesus is my Lord. That's what it is. It's all about Jesus, not about me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, for which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. Here's how this sums up, I want you to look at this. We are his workmanship. That's a neat word. You ever try to build something? It's a process, isn't it? You start off wherever it may be. Some of you, I think, put your time in forward. I know you didn't work there, but you put your time in there. You know, and that vehicle starts off with some type of piece of iron. I mean, it's just some type of metal. It goes down through this assembly line. It takes hundreds of men and women to put this thing together. Both here, both there, this there, that there. When it gets to the end of that line, however long it takes this vehicle to sort of be born and get to the end where they started to make sure it works. That's a process. There's a lot of people involved in that. It's a workmanship, not just one person. It's called an assembly line because it takes everybody to assemble that together. Believe it or not, Jesus, well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit is your assembly line. You are very complicated, but God has put you together. You are an individual. Everybody in this room is an individual. You've got your own personality, your own looks, your own likes, your own dislikes. I mean, you are individuals. And I mean, some of you are characters. Some of you. A character. Individualized. Personalized. Because what? Jesus made you. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For good works. Not to get to Jesus, but because of Jesus, we did do good works. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, let me answer this real quick, because a lot of people have this understanding that it doesn't really matter what I do, how I live, because God has already made me to do a certain thing. So, lost, saved, or whatever, it's all in His plans. I have nothing to do with it. That's hogwash. Now, let me say this to you. I promise you, God knows what's going to happen. He wouldn't be God if He didn't. But I promise you, He's given you what we call free will. You have a free will to know God, accept God, or deny God. You really do. If you're old enough to understand, this is your deal. This is your decision. This is your choice. Now, where this gets complicated is God may know what you're going to do before you know it. You don't. Do you? You can't tell the future. You have to live in the now. And here's the now. The now is, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. There's coming a time, I want you to listen to me very closely. This is a whole different sermon, different time, but I promise you, there's coming a time when grace is going to be open. There's coming a time when Jesus is coming. Everything in the Bible has been fulfilled in the oncoming of what we understand as Jesus coming to this earth again. It's called the rapture. And one day he's coming back to get his people. His people are the people who've accepted him and they've gone from sin to grace. They've accepted amazing grace. They've asked Jesus for forgiveness and they live their lives for him. He's coming. And those folks who are alive at the time he's coming are going to be changed before you can even blink your eye. But there's going to be a group of people, folks, left behind. And that phrase means a lot because there's a lot of movies made about being left behind. And I'm here to tell you this. Listen to me closely as I hear this. You do not want to be left behind.
Amen.
I promise you. If you think this world is bad today, not seen anything to those who are going to be left behind. You say, well, Preacher, I don't want to be left behind. Good. I don't want you left behind either. How do I go? How do I take this journey? You accept Jesus Christ. You believe in Him. In a moment, you walk this aisle. Just as Heather did, as Emily did. It just said, Brother Roger, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to accept Him. I want to accept His grace, His mercy. And I want to do it by faith. And the moment you do that, you are changed for eternity. And you begin your Christian journey from sin to grace. It's not any better than that. Because that means God loves you, cares for you, believes in you when you don't believe in yourself. And all it is just one voice away, one choice away from saying, Jesus committed my life. Now, who knows when the rapture is going to take place? It can take place today, a week from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now. I'm just telling you, as a Bible scholar, everything has been fulfilled. It can happen at any moment. But let me put it on the other thing. When you leave here and get this automobile, folks, you don't know whether you're going to be alive when you get home. I mean, it really is today. No one ever knows when that heart's going to stop. I promise you. There are people in hell today that said, I'd give anything if I had just one more heartbeat to say Jesus to me. I'm not trying to scare you, folks. It's just reality. I've been close to death twice. I understand, folks. It can happen before this day is over with. And you don't have to be old. You can be young. And today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Today is your day. And I'll tell you this. Whether you're visiting or whether you're here all the time, it's not by accident that you're here today. God knew many years ago, long before you were born, you'd be here on this day. This may be your chance, but it's also your choice. Will you believe? Will you accept? Will you understand that Jesus loves you? This is your choice, and this is your chance. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Would you stand? Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Oh, Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, your presence is in this place. Your forgiveness. Precious and holy names. Your hands are bowed and your eyes are closed.